In the year 2022, many people, when they hear the word religion, they just say, nonsense. Well, there is a pun in there, and I want to explain. Today, I have actually a former neighbor of mine, Sister Monica Claire, Sister Superior of the community of St. John Baptist. We all have those questions in life that we ask God. Why are we here? Do you exist? Why do bad things happen to good people? The list goes on, but today we're going to ask Sister Monica Claire to see if she can answer some of these questions. And she became a TikTok sensation, even questions about her skincare. It should be a fun show on this Good Friday. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios for the first time, the one and only Sister Monica Claire.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, how are you?
Good. It's so wonderful to see you.
It's like we were talking. It's been 10 years since you moved out of
neighbor.
I know. Really? Oh, well, thank you.
Be nicest.
It was nice to, you know, get to know you, you know, the last few years, because sometimes in California, your neighbors you never talk to at all.
They're not nice sometimes.
Yeah. And so as people can see, I'm outside of the building of where you're at, inside.
That's right.
Not a stalker, just a green screen.
Up in the sky.
Well, you know, I'm excited because when I, you know, we've been following each other on Facebook and, you know, and even Instagram, but I rarely ever went on TikTok, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, I'll start a TikTok account. And next thing I know, Sister Monica Claire pops up on my screen, and lo and behold, she was having a heyday of a time with a huge following and lots of messages. So congratulations on becoming a TikTok sensation.
Thank you. Congratulations on your wonderful show.
Oh, thank
you. So happy to see this.
Well, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and so have you. And I thought today on Good Friday, you know, that we talk about, you know, aliens and conspiracy and all kinds of true crime stuff. But I thought this would be a great show to answer some questions that a lot of people have about religion and spirituality. And, you know, some people question till the day they die of what God is and where do we go after this, and some people, you know, come to terms with that before they go. So let's just go ahead and start and dive right into this, because I know how people, they love to get into the juice of things. The biggest question of it all, and especially the people that struggle with religion, does God exist? And, you know, I've heard the saying as well, we don't know oxygen exists, but, you know, we need it to live. So can you explain what God really is, and does he really exist, or she really exist, or it really exists? We just don't know.
I think, you know, in my experience, I would say, yes, God exists because of my experience of God, my moments in life where I've definitely felt that I was connecting with the divine. I think a lot of people don't believe in the God that they were taught in their childhood, because that God is whatever God their religion taught them. And sometimes you have to think out of the box and say, well, maybe God is a concept that's bigger than what the religion of my childhood taught me, or whatever I've projected onto God that I think God should be. Maybe it's bigger than that. Maybe it's like the Force in Star Wars, or
right.
Maybe it's just energy, you know, positive and negative energy. And I think that's perfectly okay to believe whatever your experience of God is, instead of saying, well, I can't believe in God because I don't believe in that guy with the white beard, you know, right, sitting on the throne.
Right. Right. And I think a lot of people do question that, because even myself, I say I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Christian follower. I'm a Christ follower, meaning I believe the concept of Christ, you know, of loving and, you know, love thy neighbor and caring for one another. But I think a lot of people have a hard time with the way a lot of Christians use Christianity to use it against other Christians or in other people of other religions. How do we, I mean, again, once we cross over, we like Betty White, when she passed away, she says, now we know the secret. But while we're alive on this earth, how does that harm what the Word of God has been passed down for, you know, thousands of years?
I think, you know, religion and God, religion and Jesus sometimes part ways. I think that organized religion has gotten a lot of things wrong, and it's gotten caught up with money and power.
Right.
And that's when it starts to be a harmful thing that traumatizes a lot of people, when the religion tries to protect its power base, or it becomes all about greed and money, and or it becomes about the power of this denomination being preserved by harming other denominations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 100% sure that God is not okay with that.
Right. Right.
I think that, you know, what I tell people who are searching for some kind of religion or spirituality, if you start to go to a church or any other place of worship in other faith traditions, and you see it harming people or excluding people, walk on. Keep trying to find something where you feel that people are loved and cared for and included, and yet held accountable to be good people. You know, I think that people think, oh, if you throw all the vengeful God and the judgment out the window, then people are just going to be hedonists to act however they want.
Right.
But I don't think that's the slippery slope that's going to happen. I think a loving and compassionate God is just like a perfect parent who wants us to be happy and healthy, wants us to stay on a path that is productive and good and doesn't harm other people, doesn't harm ourselves. And if your place of worship doesn't support that kind of God, then you're not feeling it.
Right.
Keep looking until you find one that does.
Yeah, one analogy that I've always stuck in my head is, you know, my mother, you know, God bless her soul, she's, you know, she's passed on a couple of years ago. But some things that happened before she passed away that really made me really know there was something after this world. And I wanted to ask you about this, because when she was a couple months out, she told me, she goes, I'm ready. And it really hit me hard, because, you know, that's my mama. But
yeah.
But my words out of my mouth was like, mama, that if that's what you want, that's between you and God. And I wasn't like, no, mom, don't stay, because I knew that she was miserable on this world, in this planet. And but she started seeing loved ones that have passed on before, like maybe like 3 or 4 weeks before she passed away. In fact, even her mother, who she never met in her life, her mother left when she was a year old, and so she never knew her. But she said her mother came to visit. What do you think of spirits such as that can? Do you think that's just a mind, your mind playing games with you, or do you feel that our loved ones on the other side do have that ability to come visit us before we pass away, or even in trying times?
I do believe that our loved ones are on the other side. I believe that they occasionally interact with us on this side, and when someone's at the point of crossing over to the afterlife, they guide us into the afterlife. There's a wonderful woman on TikTok called Nurse Julie, and she's a hospice nurse.
Oh my gosh.
She talks a lot about the experience of people dying. And she said it's incredibly common for people to see their loved ones and to talk about them as if they're in the room
right. When
they're about to cross over. And some, you know, naysayers would say, well, they're just hallucinating because
right. They're
on morphine or whatever. But it seems like they would hallucinate about other things besides
right. That,
yeah. You know,
right. They
would hallucinate that they're, you know, in a hot air balloon, or that they're, you know, fighting a dragon.
Right.
But they seem to have this same experience quite a bit. And I have had experiences in my life where I felt like someone who crossed over made some sort of contact with me in this life. There's a wonderful old Irish superstition that says when somebody passes, if you see a bird in your house or you see a bird that's trapped inside a building, that's that person's soul coming to tell you that they're okay. And so many times after someone has passed, I've seen a bird in the house. So I just think, because I always think of the Holy Spirit, spirits with birds. And I don't know the process of crossing over because I've never done it.
Right.
But I've been at the bedside of many people who've crossed over. And they've all had this experience of seeing their relatives. And it helps us, I think, because if you like, if you're learning how to dive into a canyon or something when you're a teenager, somebody goes before you, it makes you feel a little bit more confident to go yourself. And I think that when we see people who've gone before us, we're less afraid to cross over. And I believe 1,000% that all of our pets who crossed over will also be there to greet us. I know it.
I miss my killer licks. That was the name of my dog, Killer. Yeah, she was my best friend growing up, but she was a great licker.
You'll see her again at the Rainbow Bridge.
And another reason I was bringing up my mother, because she was such a loving mother. She, no matter what her children did, she just loved them. No matter what, and you know, like my brother or my sisters, I mean, no matter what they did. And I was like, man, if I was the parent, I would be, you know, I would say, but I'm like, I'm not the parent. I guess, you know, when you're a parent, it changes your whole personality and attitude towards your children. But I was thinking about this, about God. I was thinking, I hear all these people talk about how God hates you because you're this way, or hates you because you're not part of this religion. But I'm thinking, if God is the greatest being in the universe, and my mother can love me and my siblings more than anything, no matter what we did, I guarantee if we did the worst crime out there, she may not agree with it, but she would love me and welcome me. I'm thinking, if my mom can do it, how would you say the God of the universe that created all would hate someone because they are not like you?
God doesn't hate anything.
Yes.
God is love, and God gives us love unconditionally. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to stay on the right path and do good in our lives. God does not want us to hate anybody. That's the catch. God loves us unconditionally, and he expects the same from us with humanity. Which is really hard when you look at people that you consider to be your enemies,
right?
People that embrace what we consider to be a destructive ideology, or people who are using religion to harm other people. How do we love them? Mm-hmm. You can love people and still hold them accountable. And the divisions that have happened politically over the last 10 years, how do we love people in our family who are on the opposite side of the political spectrum?
Right.
We can love them in our hearts, still hold them accountable, but not tear them down and destroy them. And I always look to scripture when Jesus would encounter somebody who didn't believe as he did, or didn't accept the message. Sometimes he would just turn around and walk away. Or sometimes he would argue very logically with that person and try to present the facts and then just let them. I feel like Jesus was saying, they don't know yet. They're uninformed and they don't know yet. So that's one way that I can try to love people who don't have the same beliefs that I do. And people who are, you know, out there harming people actively, I do pray for them, but still work to stop them from doing that, you know?
Yeah. And I think, there are a lot of people that they don't have a life-changing moment until there's tragedy or there's something that just physically or chemically changes in their mind. An incident that, a car crash, and then they did see the light or saw a loved one and they came back, and realized that their life was not the way it needed to be. So, and that comes to the question is there a heaven or a hell? And if there is, how do you stay out of hell and how do you go to into heaven? Because, you know, I grew up in the streets of gold and the mansions and, you know, and I'm like, okay, oh, yeah. I know that's probably not true. But what's your take on it?
I know that there is a heaven, an afterlife, beautiful eternity with God. I know that there's something else where you're held accountable. And I would like to think that it's a place where souls can be rehabilitated. And I've come to that belief because I've talked to a couple of mediums in my life, and they have said to me, you know, because I don't rule anything out. I don't like to just disbelieve anything wholesale. Right. And so these mediums were talking about people who had been destructive or harmful in this life. And they said, you know, they're in that place. It's sort of like a conference room, and there are all these people around them rehabilitating their soul, reconstructing it because it was shattered. Hmm. And I also believe in reincarnation.
That was going to ask you that question.
Yeah. I believe that a loving, compassionate God would give us more than one chance to come to this earth and get it right, because a loving God gave us free will, which we most of the time we don't use it correctly.
Right.
So I'm always asking God, why did you give us that? We're terrible at it. But God gives us free will to come here and make choices. And if we make the wrong choices, there's a place where our souls get rehabilitated. I think that the medieval version of hell, you know, and what we've seen in scripture about hell is humans trying to understand the concept of something that they've never experienced. Mm-hmm. They don't know anything about it. Heaven is a little different because people have gone and come back. Lazarus went to heaven and came back. And people, you know, you hear stories all the time about people who've gone and come back. And so I think, you know, the big answer is we don't know. We have no idea. It's the undiscovered country, both heaven and hell. But I know there's something. And souls go to either place.
So that's also a question where, again, when humans, I'm not even going to say a religion, says, because you did that, you're going to hell. Well, my thing was like, well, I mean, if you start picking out sins in the Old Testament, there's a lot of sins. I mean,
right.
You know, the clothing and shrimp and da da da, and the list goes on and on and on. I mean, lock yourself in a room right. And with no fabric mm-hmm. anywhere in the room. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's my thing is, yeah. Do you feel that reincarnation? Because sometimes mm-hmm. I feel that coming back to this world can be hell on earth in a way. If you know. Growing up in a family, you know, that's abusive or yeah. tragically murdered or, you know, mm-hmm. drug abuse. So, I mean, a lot of people would yeah. probably consider that hell. So reincarnation, mm-hmm. do you feel that can be kind of your parole?
Your punishment?
Not a punishment. Yeah, maybe a punishment, but more because yeah. sometimes you get put in maybe in a position where how you treated somebody in the past life that you come back and you get treated the same way in the past life.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are a lot of people who believe that earth might be a kind of purgatory or hell. And that's why we have to cope with evil and senseless violence
right.
and things like that, because this is not heaven. And we may be here. Some people say we're here to be tested to see if we can maintain faith in God in spite of so much evil in the world. And some people would say, well, we're the souls that messed up in some other place.
Right.
And now we're here having to suffer, you know, that mm-hmm. that life involves suffering. There's no getting away from it. So it is a kind of a wider belief. And I wouldn't discount that at all. I think maybe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because I remember, and I'm curious, because a lot of religious people, when you say I've been to a psychic or a medium, mm-hmm. they consider that evil, or they consider that,
yeah.
you know, not a prophet, mm-hmm. but I'm trying to think of the
sorcerer
or something like that. So what is your, take on that? Now that you've, you mm-hmm. know, joined the convent, you've, you know,
yeah.
given your life to the church. So what is your take mm-hmm. on that now?
Well, I belong to a denomination that really doesn't look back at Leviticus and other parts of Scripture as applicable to everything we do today. There is a part of Scripture that was written for certain people at a certain time.
Right.
And like back when Jesus was doing his ministry on the earth, there were a lot of sorcerers and magicians around. It was really common. And so there were prohibitions against that because people could get really misled and follow that instead of following Christ or following God. And I think if somebody uses it as a substitute for connecting with God, connecting with a higher power, I think that's where it gets dangerous. And of course, if you are talking to a charlatan and handing over all your money,
right,
that's
right.
destructive as well. And
right.
and people who have certain, I believe that certain people have psychic powers and they have power to connect with the dead. If they misuse that to control people, of course that's evil. It's not good. So
yeah, I agree with that.
Depends. Yeah, it depends on how you use it. Who's on the other end?
Well, I remember going. You know Della Reese. You know the.
Oh yeah.
She had a church here in town, and I used to go to that church. It was an amazing church. You know, great music, and she she was not a traditional. I mean, she was the main preacher. She was not, but she very blunt. You know, but in the grandma auntie way. Not one of these mean way, but one thing it really stood out to me in it, and she says, God wants you to be rich. He goes, even money. He goes, God wants you to be rich in so many ways, but she goes, even money. She said, it's what you do with the money is what's important. And I think the same way with religious leaders, political leaders, you know, head of companies, you know, teachers, you know, the list can go down and down and down. I think it's all the way you use the power that makes it wrong or right.
Totally. I think when Jesus was doing his ministry on earth, he really rejected the power structures of humans because most of those power structures are designed to where people get rich at the expense of poor people.
Right.
And that is not okay in Jesus's world. You know, everybody should be prosperous. Everybody should share in God's great bounty. The reason we have starvation on earth, the reason we have poverty, is not because there's not enough. It's because the people at the top take too much and they don't give back to the people at the bottom of the socioeconomic scale. And it's because people have gotten it in their heads that they can judge who's worthy of prosperity and who's not, and who's going to hell and who's not. Only God can judge our worth and whether we're going to heaven or hell, not people. We don't have the right to make that choice about somebody.
And I think that's the good part about getting older. You know, I know you're way younger than I am, but
I'm older than you are. You look a lot better than I do.
Oh, please, you look great. You look great. But no, I think when you're younger, you know, the influence of the older generation is definitely there. But when you get older, you realize that I don't care what other people think as much.
Yeah.
am I doing good? Am I doing the right things? You know, treating people right. And I think, you know, my last name being Sweet, I didn't make it up. I was given that. Somebody the other day said, you know, you're a very sweet man. I said, wouldn't it be crazy if my last name was Sweet and I was just the biggest butthole? You know, but you know, it is funny that a lot of people in this earth that they do take that power and they just enhance it. I don't know if you get to ever watch movies there.
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you watched Wonder Woman 1980, whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. But
no,
this
I know about it, but
but this guy that was kind of the main focus is where he found this lamp, and anytime somebody made a wish, well, the thing is you had to pay a price for the wish. So if you said, I want to be the richest man in the world. Well, all you had to do is the guy that held the lamp, he can make the wish and make it even bigger. So he would take things from people that made wishes. So if you were the president, now I'm the most powerful person in the world and you're not the president. I mean, so it was kind of backfiring on the people that made the initial wish. So that's where I feel a lot of people in this world is, you know, like, oh, I'm going to start, let's just use an example, start a church. And all of a sudden you start getting thousands of people and you're, you know, people are giving you hundreds, thousands of dollars. And all of a sudden now you're a millionaire, multimillionaire, and you're driving Rolls Royces and this and that. And the people around you are starving or hungry or, you know, and that's where I feel that religion definitely has gone wrong. And I think a lot of people do leave the church for that reason.
Totally. I mean, even with the charities that people donate to these days, you look at the financial statements to see how much of your donation is going to actual people who need it.
Right.
And people need to do that with religious institutions as well, because the prosperity gospel gets really convoluted into the greed gospel, mm-hmm. which is I'm going to drive around in a Rolls Royce while the woman who cleans my toilets gets, you know, $10 an hour.
Right.
And people know, they know when they're falling victim to greed. They know that point where they could make that choice to, there are plenty of charitable institutions that don't enable poor people. That's always one of the fears that people have. If I donate to the poor, they'll just keep being lazy or whatever.
Oh, I hear that a lot.
Yeah. And as a person who grew up, I grew up in tremendous poverty. And if I hadn't been helped by government programs, by generous donors, I wouldn't be who I am today. I would be, you know, probably living on the streets or something. And so the whole idea of enabling poor people, you can get around that by donating to places that where your money really does good. And also religious institutions that are, you know, a lot of people won't go to church if it's not a church that has an outreach to the poor.
Right.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. And you look at how much of the church's funds are going to those ministries to the poor. Some churches don't even have a building anymore. They just meet in a poor neighborhood mm-hmm. and they paint houses or they do.
See, that's
great. What Jesus would love that.
Right.
Say, good for you.
Yeah.
Because we didn't start out, the Christian faith didn't start out in beautiful big edifices. It started out in people's homes, poor people.
Well, I just want to, for the people that are listening, podcast mm-hmm. and YouTube channel, that Sister Monica Claire, you know, she just said that she came from a very poor, you know, environment and, you know, government help. She didn't go directly into a convent where, you know, what she did, she went on to become a six-figured salary at an ad agency?
Ad agency.
So yeah. She worked her way up from poverty to a six-figure salary and not gave it up, but willingly mm-hmm. wanting to serve the church. So it was mm-hmm. so people like, oh, see, she just went from poor to living in a convent where she didn't, you know, it's like no. You know, just give a little backstory to that. So that's yeah. pretty amazing.
Thank you very much. I mean when I was working in advertising, I could have moved up to making a whole lot of money. I was on the verge of six figures. I'd never really made six figures.
Oh, I thought you hit it maybe. Yeah. But still, that's pretty good.
I was doing pretty well. I had a good salary, excellent benefits, and all the perks of working in advertising and it being sort of a prestigious kind of career in movie advertising. But I really didn't feel like I was doing something that was helping the world. Sometimes movies, entertainment, sometimes they can help the world. The
right.
movies that really change things do make a difference. But I felt for the most part that I was feeding a machine that fed rich people. And mm-hmm. and the work that I was putting in, my time was being spent making rich people richer and the poor people poorer. And also I was in an industry that really fed into misogyny and violence and things that are destructive, and that never sat right with me from day one. I didn't like the aspects of violence and
right.
the movies that we were promoting. And that some people can say it's harmless, but I don't think it is. So I felt a lot of guilt working in that industry because I took a job in advertising when I was young just to pay the bills because I
Right.
was trying to be an actor. And I was a colossal failure as an actor. So I ended up working advertising for 20 years. It was not my chosen field.
And then became a TikTok sensation. So
Yeah.
I still love that.
So
Well,
crazy.
we talked about, mostly about Christianity, and but there's a lot of religions out there. I
Oh,
mean, a
yeah.
lot of religions. I'm just going to show a picture of different types of religions around the world. And a lot of people think if you're not a you're not Christian, you're going to hell anyway because, you're not loving our God, worshiping our God. So what is your take on the many different religions of this world? Is it okay to worship other gods? And because I mean, even in my 20s, I used to go around to different like Buddhist temples and churches and denominations just to kind of get a feel of what other people, how they worship. So tell me your take on that.
Well, our community and a lot of other religious communities in the Episcopal Church do a lot of interfaith work. Like we'll put together a program with a Buddhist and a Muslim person and a Jewish person and a Mormon. Like we'll throw
Right.
a bunch of people together for an interfaith or ecumenical. We have an ecumenical group here in Mendham where we have all the different churches that we get together and do things. And I think it's because as much as I'm a Christian and I wish that everybody could know Christ like I do and follow Christ's way, bashing other religions is so harmful and so destructive and has killed so many people over thousands of years that we just can't keep doing that. We
Right.
can't say that we know 100% that my religion is the number one religion and I'm going to kill you if you think differently.
Right.
That's the harm in it. I mean, I believe very much that we come to God through Jesus Christ. Other people believe something different. The truth is, we don't know. Our religions, all of it, is just a really clumsy, primitive attempt to understand a God that cannot be understood. And everything we do to try to understand that God is just based on our limited knowledge of God. So.
Yeah, I mean, even like in Hinduism, I mean, there's hundreds of gods that they worship, and like I said, I don't know if I would want to study that, for the fact is I don't want to have to remember them all. Not
I could never keep
nothing
that
more.
straight. Have enough time, I have enough of a hard time keeping the saints straight in my
Right,
brain.
right, right. But yeah, I think again, the religious wars that even I mean even in Christianity, with when the Catholics back in the what
The
13th,
Reformation.
yeah, and I think that's just to me just mind-boggling of how humans can kill humans just because of a religious belief. I can understand if you slapped your mom or something and you want to fight him or something, but just because I believe in a different God, I just don't get that. I remember going to a church in Kansas City, and like again, I was hopping around, and the preacher was saying, if you're not in this church, you are not worshiping correctly. This church was the only way to Christ. And I was like, wow. So that I it took me about 15 minutes and I got up and walked out because I just yeah, I just I was like, that hit me wrong. But it was but seeing so many people f not fall for it but believe the same way. Why do you and actually why do you think followers are so desperate to hear the words of the preacher or the minister or the leader to that need to follow that person and almost worship that person over the true meaning of what God is.
Yeah, I mean, it happens so much in some denominations. I'm not going to name the ones that we all know.
I'll do that later. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding.
And, you know, I was raised in a faith tradition where we were taught from the day we were born not to question anything, not to have critical thinking, not to stand up for ourselves if we felt that something harmful was being done to us. And the reason that some religions do that is because it makes people really easy to control. If you teach people never to question anything, they won't question their political leaders. They won't question their spouse or anything that might be harmful. And, you know, in the Jewish tradition, they have a wonderful thing since day one where they will argue scripture. They will scream at each other, debate, talk about critical thinking. I mean, the rabbis over the thousands of years have torn scripture apart and questioned everything, which is a wonderful thing to do, because I do not believe that we can come to a deep, honest faith without questioning. We have to struggle with the difficult questions. We have to argue with God. That's what people do in the Bible. They argue with God all over the place.
Right. I mean,
and the rabbis informed our Christian tradition, which is should be up until the late 19th century. Christianity was very much a religion of let's debate this and figure out if it's right or wrong.
Right.
And then this whole fundamentalist thing of never questioning anything is pretty recent.
Oh, that's pretty recent then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very recent.
Yeah. Keep the flock silenced. And unfortunately, I'm a Sagittarius for those spiritual people, which is called seeker of truth. I remember as a kid, I was never forced or made to go to church. I hate to say forced, but made to go to church. I chose to go to church on my own later on after high school. But I asked my mom questions all the time. I mean, why about the Bible? And, you know, luckily she was, you know, she was very honest, but she was religious, but not like, you know, Bible thumper religious.
Good.
Yeah. Right. Well, this leads us to the question of spirituality versus religion. What is your take on spirituality? Because, you know, in California, when I moved here, I was definitely, I'm sure you saw the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I grew up in Kansas, the Bible Belt, and it's all about church and religion and Jesus. Here, it's, you know, yogis and gurus and shamans and everything. Yeah. And, you know, I go to the Conscious Life Expo, I see everything that California has to offer. Not that it's a bad thing or a good thing, but what is your take on spirituality versus religion?
I think in a lot of ways, spirituality is the way that people try to connect with something bigger than themselves without being traumatized by organized religion. I think there is a real desire in most people, I would say 98% of people want to connect with something and try to make sense of all this. And yet they've been rightfully nervous about organized religion and afraid of being harmed because so much harm has been done. And they don't realize that there are things out there like progressive Christianity, which is what I belong to, which is, you know, Church of the Flaming Liberals. And they don't realize that option is out there. So, or even if they do, they don't feel like that's their path. So I think spirituality can be practiced. I know a lot of really good ethical people who are spiritual but not religious, including my own mother. And they follow, because I really believe that everybody knows the difference between right and wrong. We know whether something is harmful or whether it's loving. And I think some people choose a loving path without organized religion. In my own life, I was agnostic for about 10 years. I didn't go to church, but I prayed and I practiced on my own. And I found that I wasn't growing in my spirituality because I wasn't practicing it in a group setting. And so that's what led me back to church, was this desire to join in with others in my spiritual journey and have them hold me accountable, pull me along when I was feeling, you know, stuck or lost. And educate me. I feel like I got a better education after I joined the Episcopal Church. And I got a better education when I was training to be a spiritual director. I'm an interfaith spiritual director, so I get trained in a lot of different faith traditions. So yeah, I feel like practicing on my own didn't work for me. Maybe it works for some people, didn't work for me.
Right. And one thing that you said that, even your church is very flaming liberal. But how is your take on, because even people watching this, I'm sure they're going to hear, as soon as you say liberal, their mood's going to change. I feel that the word conservative and liberal has become such a negative tone, because we're, especially where religion and politics are now on the teetering on the fence, where the Constitution is supposed to be separation of church and state, but now it's like almost combined. What is your take on how religion and politics has, and I don't want you to have to really get in, because I don't want this to turn into people like bashing
Get on
anybody,
my soapbox.
but how, the take on the combination, how can we either separate the two or come to a positive conclusion that we can take away from this?
Yeah, I mean, for me, religious freedom in this country means that as a Christian, I can worship and connect with God in the way that I feel is the best way to follow God. And if there are people who are in power that are fundamentalist Christians who want to tell me how to worship and how to connect with God, I have a real problem with that. And as far as prayer in schools and things like that, I think, yeah, we can all say the Lord's Prayer, but what about the little Buddhist kid who's standing there? And what about the little Jewish kid? What is that doing to them? Invalidating their belief system. So I think there's a real danger if it becomes a religious nation based on religion. Which religion is that? And is it going to be imposed on everybody in the United States? That's the slippery slope for me, is I don't want it to be just one religion presiding over all the others. I think that we should all be equal in our journeys.
And I think a lot of people are they're making this, they're taking the pencil and writing this in and saying religious freedom is Christian religious freedom. It's it's not that. Religious freedom means like whatever you want to worship. So I think that's where a lot of people need to really kind of sit back and, let the anger and the hatred and all this stuff, kind of do a little meditation and realize that this is for all people.
It's all religion.
Yeah, a little prayer. Yeah. Well, I know the time is getting to the end, so I do want to ask you, this is truth be told, we talk about all kinds of things. So one of the biggest questions is religion and extraterrestrials, aliens, other life on other planets. I always say God is a almighty. He's created a huge universe, galaxies, and other whatever's out there. I can't believe he would only make one planet with living beings. So, what is your take, and what do you think the church's take on extraterrestrials or other life on other planets?
I feel exactly the same way you do. God is so much bigger than we could ever imagine. We don't know what all is out there. We didn't even know that we were sitting on a little ball circling the sun so fairly recently. We discover more and more about the universe in which we live, and is the universe just part of this other thing that we've never discovered, you know? So, God is so much bigger than just us on our little ball going around the sun. And I think there have to be other, if the universe is truly infinite, there have to be other living beings out there. And I don't know what they're experiencing. It's just like heaven or hell. It's somewhere else, and we don't know. I think that's a hard thing for humans to do, is to admit that we don't know something.
And do you feel like a lot of people in my genre feel that, through religion, that God created man here on earth? But do you feel that possibility of extraterrestrials bringing people here, even though God did create us, but because we kind of showed up out of nowhere on this planet, because some people say, a lot of people that in religion and, you know, say that the earth is only tens of thousands of years old. Well, you know, we're proving through science that it's millions of years old. Yeah. Some people in religion don't even believe there were dinosaurs. They believe that that was made up, you know, there's constantly finding bones that are millions of years old. So do you believe that possibly extraterrestrials could have brought us here from another planet, another time?
Who knows? Maybe. Maybe that was. We try to, you know, humans try to explain creation. Our creation story as the faith tradition to which I belong was sort of, you know, they sort of came up with it because they didn't really have anything that was written down by eyewitnesses when creation happened.
Right, right, so, right.
A lot of different cultures in the world came up with these creation stories and to kind of try to explain it. Other denominations would say, no, God told them exactly how it happened and this is how it happened.
Oh, yeah.
But the truth is, once again, we don't know. We have no clue how this all came about. And sometimes I tell people who are struggling with religion and God as those kind of traditional concepts, I'll say, you know, maybe it's more of a science fiction thing, you know, like maybe God's methods are more science fiction than we imagine.
Right.
You know? that's where science fiction might have come from is, you know, what God does is so mind blowing and so outside our human experience that it's in this realm of marvelous things that we just could have never dreamed up on our own.
So, yeah, it's like I said, even, you know, Ancient Aliens, the TV series, you know, a lot of these, you know, theories, they always say theory, you know, and science is a lot of theory. It's, you know, like, again, like Betty White, she says, now we know the secret once we cross over.
Yes, that's right. We'll know someday.
We'll know someday. Okay, so last question is, you know, today is Good Friday. In 2 days, it's Easter. What is your good thoughts or prayers for the world? Because, you know, we have a war going on. We have political divide. We have, you know, the inflation's high, you know, people can't afford food, blah, blah, you know, the list goes on and on. But this Good Friday, how can we kind of make it a better day? What's your final thoughts?
The big thought, so get ready.
It's good. Let's do it.
I believe in my heart that the reason we were put on this earth is to learn to love each other. That was the command that Jesus gave from God. We're supposed to learn to love each other, which means to take care of each other, to be good to each other. And until we do that, we have not accomplished our purpose as a human race. So whatever we do towards those goals of loving each other and properly caring for each other, that is in keeping with what is right in the universe. And that's where we need to keep our focus, not on division and hate and destroying each other. That's the opposite of why we're here.
Love it. That's a great way to end the show. And for people that are on TikTok or Instagram, how do people follow you? And because listen, you want some good skincare tips, and I that's what happened. I look like an old ragged dog, and now look at me. So how do people find you? I know I have your website up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our website for the community of St. John Baptist. My TikTok account name is Nonsense for the People, and it's spelled just like the Broadway show or Off Broadway show, Nonsense. I hope they don't come after me for copyright.
Right.
I only put that name up there when I thought I was going to have like 24 followers.
Right. Right. Now you're like 151 or something like that. That's amazing. That is amazing.
That's crazy.
And if people want to donate to your is it
the convent?
Just convent. I was going to say I didn't know if there's another name. You know, there is going to be a Sister Act 3. Maybe you can audition for that.
Right. I'm getting shape.
Right, right. But thank you so much. Like I said, it's my former neighbor here in California. You know, you are just a joy to to live next to, and I enjoy watching what you're doing on TikTok.
Same to you. It's good to know that good people like you are out there in the world. Praise God.
I appreciate it. And well, thank you everybody for tuning in. Happy Easter and happy Good Friday. We really appreciate you here on Truth Be Told. Don't forget to watch every Monday at 3 o'clock. You have Robert Hensley doing the Minuteman Report, and then Bonnie Burkett. If you like those shamans and spiritual gurus, well, you can watch Truth Be Told Transformation. Of course, me every Friday here at 3 o'clock. So until next time, I'm Tony Sweet on Truth Be Told. Have a good one. Bye-bye. This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media. Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows.